Tonight, Joe Flacco battled Tom Brady, threw a lot of touchdowns, but is he elite?
Also, Kurt Busch testifies his ex-girlfriend was a trained assassin. I'll bet this one has a killer ending.
And Chip, if you think Chip Kelly is going to trade all of his draft picks and players and his left nut to get Marcus Mariota, you have another thing coming.
This, oh this, is Eastbound and Fourth Down. Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Eastbound and Fourth Down. I'm Ryan Kelly alongside
Craig Wilson.
And we are both here with only one more week until the week without football. The week that's been coming for so, so long.
Yeah. Wait, are you counting the Pro Bowl as the week without football?
Yes, that is exactly what I'm counting.
It's okay, I'm just making sure because I was like, you know, the Super Bowl is the week after that. So technically, there's still football to come. But yes, no, the sham that is the Pro Bowl, that will be held at, where's the Super Bowl this year, Arizona?
Yes.
Yeah, they're doing the whole, it's back at the host city now. Because they can't figure out what the heck they're doing with the Pro Bowl. I mean, they should just scrap it. No one watches. The whole thing's a farce. No one plays actual football.
It wasn't too terrible last year. I think they made a step in the right direction with the changes they've made, but it's still not what it needs to be. It's still not an all-star game that matters. I mean, quite frankly, no all-star game matters, but none of them matter quite as little as the Pro Bowl.
Until they decide that it's okay to hate each other and that AFC players and NFC players should hate each other, it won't be good. I can't remember this, but my mom used to tell me about baseball back when the American League and National League hated each other. And the All-Star Game was the only time of the year you got to play them because interleague play didn't happen. So this was the game where you got to play those other mugs from the other side of, you know, the country or, you know, and where you could really hate on these people, and they were filled of hate, they were competitive, and they were interesting. But unfortunately, more is less, and less is more, and it's just not really worth it.
It's just kind of how it is nowadays. But, you know, I think looking forward, at least I think they've done the right thing by moving this to that week without football. I think that the Pro Bowl the week after the Super Bowl is absolutely worthless in today's day and age, and it adds no real value. And yes, the Pro Bowl still doesn't exactly add a ton of value, but at least you're still trying to get people to wet their football whistle, so to say.
But
and people will come to that, and they'll watch that event.
At the same time, though, you don't get the players from the two best teams at the Pro Bowl, and so those fans wouldn't get to see them, because honestly, the only real good thing you get out of this are players often tend to sign more autographs at these events because they're pretty much a showcase of the league of, hey, these are the popular people, and there's a little bit more meet and greets you can go around, and it's a little easier to get autographs at this time. And if you're a fan of the teams that make it to the Super Bowl, you won't be getting to do that.
Yes, but you also get to see your team play in the Super Bowl, so.
No, but you have the potential to get your absolutely embarrassed like the Denver Broncos did last year.
Well, that's your fault.
Yeah, absolutely, so, you know, but I'm just saying.
So, with that being said, there are two games this week. Two pretty meh games, if I do say so myself.
But we might be getting a little ahead of ourselves. We opened up the show with the question of, is Joe Flacco elite? Joe Flacco, he of the streak of multiple touchdowns in every playoff game for a while.
And a game-sealing interception against the team that he quote-unquote owns.
It's true. He actually does theoretically own the Patriots. And you could make the argument and say, well, the defense should have picked it up there. But I'm going to stop you right there. Joe Flacco, unfortunately, is not elite.
No.
As of this date and time.
He is not. He never has been. He never will be. Joe Flacco's a serviceable quarterback with a good arm, but he's not quite as accurate as he needs to be. He seems to make all the throws in January, which is, of course, something that you'd love out of any quarterback.
True.
But at the end of the day, Joe Flacco's never going to be Tom Brady. He's never going to be Peyton Manning. Ooh. He's never going to be Aaron Rodgers. Listen, Ravens fans, be okay with that. You've got a serviceable guy who does good things for you, especially in big games. Just be okay with that. Quit trying to make us think that he's the next big thing, because he's not. He's a good thing for the Baltimore Ravens. That doesn't mean he has to be a superstar.
I'll tell you what, though. I'd trade anything to have him instead of Peyton Manning as my quarterback.
Ooh, takes.
Oh, yeah, because Peyton Manning's only going to get better from this point out.
Listen.
Or even par. He's not even going to stay par. Listen, he's an old man with bad legs.
And you're also spoiled rotten.
Look, I never liked Peyton Manning. I never embraced Peyton Manning as the quarterback of my team. I never once thought, gee, I'd like to have a Peyton Manning jersey. I mean, maybe if he'd have won a Super Bowl, I might have looked on him and said, you know what, you're okay, Griffin. But no, I will never, ever say that for Peyton Manning, because Peyton Manning was nothing more than a paid mercenary come to play out the twilight of his careers, much like a Joe Montana going to the Kansas City Chiefs, but slightly better.
Oh, yes. Much, much better. But that being said, all these ridiculous things lead up to a weekend of meh football. Yeah. Simply because, do you really think either of the underdogs has a shot?
No. Nope. Not a chance in hell.
I think we're on a collision course, just like last year. That collision course towards the Super Bowl that everybody knew was going to happen. I think we're finally going to see that happen twice in a row. I think the Seahawks and the Packers are on a collision course simply because the Colts don't play well against good teams. They just don't. They had a great weekend last week against a Denver team and, quite frankly, a Peyton Manning-led team, so we all know what that means in the playoffs.
The defense actually showed up in that game and held them to 20-something points, 24 points. Jack Del Rio actually carried his end of the bargain. Shocker there. Thank goodness he's gone, though. Don't get me wrong. Have fun in Oakland, Jackie boy. I mean, 2 yards and a cloud of dust look real good in black and silver.
Yeah.
But,
oh.
Yeah, black hides the dirt. But
welcome to purgatory, Jack.
Like I said,
Maurice has been waiting on you.
Peyton Manning is a liability at quarterback. I do not think he should come back to the NFL for another season. He's a Hall of Famer. He's not going to win another Super Bowl because he's not getting better. He's an old man.
Hey, at least he got his ring, glares at Dan Marino.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, he did. But about the underdogs this week, if this was the year 1980, I would have said that the Eagles have a better shot of reuniting than either of these teams winning. And I actually would have been right in that, because they did reunite. Granted, they did break up again. But seriously, Aaron Rodgers is hurt. If Aaron Rodgers was better, I'd say they have a shot, because Seattle's offense this year is not good. I don't care what people have been saying. Oh, they have a good offense. No, they have a running back, and if you stopped him and you take away one of their wide receivers, who are this year mediocre at best, can you name their top wide receiver?
The Green Bay Packers' top wide receiver.
No, no, no. Seattle's.
Oh. The Seattle Seahawks' top wide receiver.
I can name the Green Bay Packers' top wide receiver, Jordy Nelson.
Yeah.
Followed by Randall Cobb. But I can't name a Seattle wide receiver. I can name their tight end.
I keep wanting to say Golden Tate, but I know that's wrong.
That's right. He is currently a member of the Detroit Lions, who got jobbed by a horrible game of ref ball.
Yeah, this is true.
But then the Cowboys went and lost a game of ref ball to Green Bay, proving that the NFL likes Green Bay better than them still.
Yeah.
Despite everything they say to the contrary about being America's team, America's actual team, well, currently this year, based on fan polls, is the Denver Broncos, because Peyton Manning's on it. But Green Bay Packers also vie for the title of America's team. And if you want to talk about a team that gets all the calls, let's go there. Granted, the refs got this week's calls correct, but there were also a couple calls they got wrong in that game. But the Dallas Cowboys lost that game fair and square. Is it embarrassing to lose to a hobbled, you know, Aaron Rodgers, or is that just a sign that Dallas isn't that good, even though Dallas already isn't that good.
I think Dallas had plenty of chances in this football game. I think, obviously, home field advantage, a place where the Packers never lost this season.
True.
I think that had something to do with it. But also, you have to look at the end of the day. Jason Garrett had an opportunity to bury the Green Bay Packers at the end of the first half. He could have went for it on a 4th-and-1 on a driver. You were moving the ball. DeMarco Murray was getting his yards every single time you handed him the football, and you chose to kick a field goal that eventually got missed. And eventually Green Bay was able to turn that into 3 points of their own. That's a 6-point, potentially a 10-point swing right there. The Cowboys simply did not make the decisions needed to win the game. Listen, I get it. You got hosed on that catch. It's a stupid rule, whatever it is. But at the end of the day, you didn't lose that game because of a bad catch. You lost that game because your coach didn't make the right decisions when he needed to. Jason Garrett has proved that he deserves an extension. He's proved that he can actually run a team with Jerry Jones breathing down his neck, and that's not easy to do. Jason Garrett's not a bad guy. He's certainly a smart offensive mind, and you know what? He can be a good coach for the Cowboys in the future, but he blew that game for you in that moment, right then, right there, and not trusting his offense to get one measly yard after moving the ball all the way downfield.
Well, he just falls into that old coaching trap that all coaches fall into in the playoffs. They get scared, don't have the stones to go ahead and go for it and play safe ball. It's the most frustrating thing from a fan perspective, but at the same time, there are 6 guys on that staff saying, hey, you have an X percent chance to win if you do this play this way, and you have an X percent to lose if you do it this way. That's not what a fan wants to hear. A fan wants to hear you go for it every down. But unfortunately, that's not how you win championships. There is a place for stats and when to call plays. And unfortunately, the playoffs are where they belong. It's a tough pill to swallow as a fan. It's an even tougher pill to swallow knowing that you lost to a crippled Aaron Rodgers who is about to just absolutely get embarrassed in Seattle.
Absolutely. I really don't see this.
If you enjoy watching football, good competitive football games, I strongly urge everybody, don't watch a single down of any of these games this week in the NFL. These games are going to be horrible, unbearable to watch, and the Super Bowl outcome, at least from my perspective and my hatred towards the two teams that will win, the two home teams, will combine to make one of the worst and most insufferable Super Bowls of all time. Not since Steelers-Cowboys Super Bowl has there been a Super Bowl full of coaches that are just hard to like and teams that are just obnoxious.
Listen, I love this Super Bowl simply because this is a battle of champions. This is a battle of two teams. And I mean, we're acting like these teams have already won, but I'm with Craig. I really don't see any way that Indianapolis pulls off the upset this weekend. I pray to God they don't, but that's an Indianapolis team that just has glaring holes. Listen, people can talk up that defense all they want. They're not stopping Tom Brady and the Patriots, especially as good as their offense has been in the second half of the season. The Seahawks, let's face it, against a hobbled Aaron Rodgers, they're just too well coached, they're too well organized, and they've got too many different ways to attack you on both sides of the football.
Well, not on the offense. They're going to win because of defense. They're not going to win because of offense. Seattle's offense this year isn't anything to be reckoned with. Defense and the crowd are the single two, or well,
but
the two reasons.
But that offense seems to find the plays when they need to.
No.
That's a squad that knows how to get it done.
That offense is going to score 14 points. The final total of that game might be in the 30s.
Mm-hmm.
No, seriously. Marshawn Lynch is going to run the ball. They're going to kick a lot of field goals. I don't count that as offense. I count that as a special teams play. So they're going to get their field goals, and they're going to get one touchdown, and they're going to get one touchdown from the running back and one touchdown as a result of the play from the quarterback, either him rushing it or throwing it. But it's going to be all defense.
Yeah. Well, with that being said, I think we've pretty much set it out there. It's going to be Seattle. It's going to be New England. And it's going to be, oh my gosh, don't kill me. No, wait, I'm not Kyle Busch.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a real thing that happened. I'm sure you probably know by now, but Kyle Busch testified in court yesterday. We're taping this on the 15th, so January 14th, a Wednesday. that his ex-girlfriend was a trained assassin who once came home in a blood-stained dress.
I thought it was an apron.
No, it was a dress.
It was a dress?
Yeah.
I thought it was an apron. And a blood-soaked garment.
That'll work, yeah.
And he said there's no way that she could have sustained the injuries because she is a trained killer and she has said, quote, I will end you or something to that effect.
So
it is the single most interesting that has happened in sports since O.J. Simpson.
And the best part is, the woman who he alleged these things on, his ex-girlfriend Patricia Driscoll, now says that she, quote, fears for his mental status and that he needs help.
Now, this is a domestic battery case, but I'm sorry. When you act like a child in court, I am going to laugh at you no matter what the case was, because you have forfeited any sense of sympathy or dignity. See, unless, of course, this is a true statement and his ex-girlfriend is a trained assassin from the CIA. If he goes missing within the next, let's say she lays low for a while, in 5 years, if he goes missing, her door is the one you need to be knocking on.
Listen, we don't get to talk NASCAR much, so I'm going to save for this opportunity. I'm not the hugest NASCAR fan, but I love talking about the personalities in that sport.
This might actually be the first time we've ever talked NASCAR on the podcast.
No, we talked about Tony Stewart.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
This is the first time we've been able to very funly talk about NASCAR
on
the podcast. So that being said, people always talk about what a loudmouth Kyle Busch is. Listen, Kyle Busch is just a good media guy. People who know how to work the media, people who know how to work the crowd, they're successful not just in NASCAR, but in any sport. They're successful in life. That's how they go. The quiet guys are the guys that fail later on. Kurt Busch is one of those quiet guys who's just a jerk regardless. He's not entertaining. There's nothing good about him anymore. He hasn't been relevant in a very, very long time. He might win a race here or there. He might be in a chase every now and then. But let's face it, Kurt Busch has become old news. So for him to come out and say something like this ridiculous and get thrust into the limelight this way, he's not doing himself any favors. You know what? Maybe he's right. Maybe in time it'll be proven true and it'll be one of the most incredible, unrealistic, insane stories you've ever heard in your life. But for him to just come out and say this is absolutely ridiculous.
You know, your comments on quiet guys finish last. Can you explain why Jimmy Johnson has 6 NASCAR titles?
Yeah, can you also explain why he doesn't have that big of a fan base?
Well, yeah, it's the fan base, but he still has 6 NASCAR titles.
I'm talking about, obviously, you can be successful in whatever sport you're in and be quiet, but I'm talking afterwards. You're trying to build yourself a brand. It was great. I listened to Colin Cowherd today, and he brought up an excellent point in that you notice the guys who are broke right after they retire from the league, it's never the guy who's talking to the media and is nice to the media. It's always the guy that's, thanks for that question. Shut up. I really don't want to talk to you. Get out. It's the guys who don't talk. It's the guys who don't make a name for themselves in the public.
No, but I really want to know, how does Jimmy Johnson have 6 NASCAR titles?
I don't know. Everything's made up and the points don't matter.
Yeah, I suppose that's how NASCAR works.
Yeah, and the worst part is, well, I guess the best part is, at least for the sport, Jimmy Johnson dominated an era of NASCAR that nobody really cared about.
It's true. They had to change the playoffs he won so much.
Yeah, because it was ridiculous, and it...
Yeah, I mean, the system was broke.
We're talking about a guy who's been accused of cheating by multiple drivers.
Yeah.
A guy who's been accused of shaving down his car, shaving down parts.
Hasn't his pit chief been, like, suspended a whole mess of times?
Yeah, that too.
Yeah.
He's kind of like the SMU of NASCAR. Except
Killed hookers?
Except SMU was entertaining.
How many hookers does he have to his credit, then?
That's a good question I don't know the answer to, but...
So are they buried under the infield of Homestead?
Maybe.
Oh, wow.
Maybe. No, they'd be buried under Texas Motor Speedway.
Yeah, he does kind of own that place.
Yeah. So, that being said, Mariota's going to the draft. You surprised?
Nope. Cardale Jones decided he was going to take a whole media half hour to himself to announce at his high school that he's going back to Ohio State. Your thoughts?
Yeah, that doesn't really surprise. Either way, Cardale Jones, it really didn't surprise me, but man, Ohio State's going to be good again.
But here's what I got to say about that. If you're announcing that you're going back to college, why are you making a massive public presentation at your high school that nobody cares about? Then the principal of that high school...
They should have done, like, the decision and had ESPN there.
No, seriously. They did.
That would have been awesome.
They did.
Like, yeah, no, but have, like, ESPN exclusive. So it's just like him and, let's see, college football. It's him and Reese Davis. And Reese is like, what do you think about your future? And Cardale Jones is like, this fall, I'm going to keep my talents in Columbus.
Except, you know, it's not. It's not Reese Davis. They either send Mr. Ohio himself... or they send the Mormon, Trevor Baddish.
Oh, God. Oh, God.
Oh, because this is just going to be ill-conceived and done wrong the whole way. But no, seriously.
If something happened he didn't like, he'd find a way to blame Jameis Winston.
Like, why are you doing this at a high school if you're going back to college?
Man, I don't know. The point is he's good.
And he's taking up time and just...
He's like if Logan Thomas was smart and accurate.
That is actually, I'm not kidding, what someone said.
Oh, yeah, that's what a lot of people have said.
And I was like, this kid's Logan Thomas, but he's better.
This kid's Logan Thomas, if Logan Thomas didn't suck.
But here's the thing. Unlike Logan Thomas, he knows he's never going to do well in the NFL, and so he's taking up all the time he can right now to get media attention. Because
you say that. Logan Thomas got a start this season.
Yeah, Logan Thomas
played significant time at the end of a season.
Yeah, he did.
So with that being said, parting thoughts?
James Winston goes 1, Mariota goes 2, and
the Titans will still be terrible.
God, they will.
It's going to be awesome. The Titans have been such a boring franchise for such a long time, and now the face of their franchise is going to be a guy who literally doesn't know how to say more than 8 words.
I'm so excited to be here. I'm really looking forward to the opportunity for playing for the Tennessee Titans.
Fun times. Fun times.
I have no emotion.
Yeah, y'all come back now?
You here?